going to be reading in the book of John, chapter 11, verse 17 to 27. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he died, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jorge, for reading the word. Go ahead and grab a seat. We are incredibly excited that you're here. I've already welcomed you, but let me ask you, if you are a guest, and we have many, to fill out one of our guest registrations. Now, how do you do that? If you're watching online from somewhere in the world, you can just text the word CONNECT to the number that's on the screen. It's 615, country code 1 if you're out of the country, 551-9800. Now, if you're in the room, there in between the seats on those bars, there's a QR code. If you'll just zoom your camera in there, it'll take you to that registration form. We want to know you're here. Please do that for us. We're so thankful that you're here. And man, we just want to pray for you. We want to answer any questions you have. So thank you for being here. Let me ask you to continue to give if you are a part of this family. If LifePoint is your home church, we want you to give so that we can take the gospel. You're faithful. Thank you for being faithful. So we can take the gospel around the world and continue to do so. And so please continue to give. You can give in so many ways. The ways are on the screen. You can text to give. There's the number. You can give in our app or lifept.org, lifepointchurch.org/give. Boxes are at each exit. Mail it in, bring it in. However, please just continue to give. Let me give you one or two things before we dive into the message. One is, we have a lot of different ways for you to connect if you're a guest. Man, we have small groups. We have events. We have women's ministry. We have men's ministry, youth ministry, children's ministry. We have VBS, Vacation Bible School, coming up June the 9th through the 12th. If you're a parent of a child, you want to register them for Vacation Bible School so that we can spend all week teaching them about Jesus. So come and be a part. Register your child of Vacation Bible School. We have youth camp, all those kind of things. And then we want you to know, if you're a guest or a member, next week we're starting a brand new series that we would love to take you along with, that we'd love for you to be a part of us. It's called Proof, and it is a series going through the book of James. James is one of the most practical books in the entire Bible about how to live on this planet in the times we're living. And so we would love for you to come and be a part of this journey through the book of James called Proof. So come and be a part of that. And we have, by the way, we have at the second or this service each week, we have Spanish interpretation because we have a Hispanic congregation, and we also have Arabic interpretation. I'm not sure they're working today because it's just the internet's overcrowded right now, which is a good thing. But if it's not, I'm sorry. Hang on, hang in. But we have that every week, and I just want you to know that. Now, I heard the story of a husband and wife who took the trip of a lifetime. You see, they went to Israel, which is the trip of a lifetime. I've been many times. Some of you have been with me. And before they went, the husband looked at the wife and said, "You know what, honey, I've been doing some research. If I were to die while we were in Israel, if something were to happen, it would cost you about $35,000 to get me back to the United States and then another 10 grand or so for the funeral. But if you just buried me in Israel, it'd cost you about 2 grand total in and out. Close the door and you're done." He said, "What would you do if I died there?" And she said, "No doubt, no question. I don't even think about it. I'm bringing you home." Now, he thought that was sweet. He thought, man, my wife loves me so much. She's going to spend all that money to bring me home. And he said, "Honey, I appreciate that. You love me so much, but you don't have to bring me back. Save that money. Use it for you and the kids." She said, "No way." She said, 2,000 years ago, a man died on Friday, was buried, and 3 days later on Sunday, come out of the grave. I'm not taking that chance. So That's why we're here, to celebrate the fact that 2,000 years ago, a man was murdered, and he was killed on Friday, and he came out of the grave on Sunday. His name was Jesus, and he wasn't just a man, he was God. He defeated death, and that's why we're here today. And this is the heart of the Christian message. It is the reason we worship, not just today, but every week. And it is the greatest news you'll ever hear, because it takes care of our greatest problem and resolves our greatest fear. You see, we all have the same problem that results in the same fear, and that's death. We all have that problem. Death is our greatest problem. Death is also our greatest fear. But today, here's what we want you to understand. The problem of death has been overcome with the promise of life. The problem of death has been overcome with the promise of life. That's what we're gonna look at for just a few moments today. So let's talk about the problem of death. This is a point I really don't have to spend a lot of time making, because it's we're all gonna shout a hearty amen. We know this to be true. God created the world in perfection. Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. We've been in a series called He Is. It was an affirmation of the I Am statements of Jesus. Jesus said through the Gospels, I am, quite a few times. He said, I am the door, right? I am the bread of life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is life. Jesus created life. He created a perfect world in which there was life. There was no death in the Garden of Eden at creation. I mean, he created in perfect, beautiful harmony. There was no death. Dreams didn't die in the Garden of Eden. Hope didn't die in the Garden of Eden. Marriages didn't die in the Garden of Eden. Relationships didn't die in the Garden of Eden. And folks, listen, people did not die in the Garden of Eden at creation. That's not what God created. But he put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden in this beautiful, perfect world. And he told them, listen, you've got the run of the place. You can do whatever you want. There's trees everywhere. You can play in them, man. You can build tire swings in them, build tree houses in them, have fun, but just do not eat from the tree that's in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. One thing he prohibited. Outside of that, they had the run of the place. And if they obeyed that one command, if they obeyed God, then all of that would be theirs for all of eternity, and it would be passed down to us. Man, that's a good deal. But the bottom line is, God knew that they couldn't do it. He knew they wouldn't do it. And so he said, for when you eat of it, you will die. They did. We did. And as a result, they died, we die. You know, we got a problem, and it's death. And death is a word that simply means separation, which means, you know, when we die physically, we're all going to die physically, our body's gonna separate from our soul, but it means so much more than physical death. It's a spiritual death that he's talking about. A death where not just our body separates from our soul, but we're separated from God. We die the moment we sin. And you know, this is our greatest problem. In Ezekiel, he said, he who sins will surely die. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, they didn't just sign their death warrant, they signed our death warrant. They signed our death warrant. That doesn't seem like a good deal, man. I mean, that seems like we got the raw deal on that, to be honest. I mean, Adam and Eve sinned and we pay for the price, and that's like a kid in class doing something stupid and then the entire class having to pay for what one kid did, right? It's like, that's a raw deal. But listen, we don't blame Adam and Eve. We can't blame Adam and Eve, because just like Adam and Eve, we've chosen to sin as well, haven't we? We were born sinners and we've chosen to sin as well, just like Adam and Eve. And you know, because of sin, death feels like our greatest enemy. I mean, that's the way it feels, because we can't beat death. We've tried, haven't we? I mean, we have tried to beat death, but we can't. I don't know if you realize it or not, but the death rate is 100%. No one makes it out. No one makes it out. The death rate's 100%. Ultimately, you are all going to die. Happy Easter. Right? Isn't that great? I mean, happy Easter, folks. We're all gonna die. I mean, it doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter, man, how much stuff you have. It doesn't matter how much power you have. It doesn't matter how healthy you are. You're going to die. right? I mean, that's the problem that we face today. I mean, you can have such great plans, and you do have such great plans, and death is that thief that just robs and takes that away. You can have great plans, and it's gone in a second. Now, you might have a long exit ramp, you know, in life. You might have this long exit ramp, or you may just get run over by a truck on the highway, and bam, I mean, one minute you're here, and the next you're gone. One minute you're having a drink with a friend. The next minute, man, you're hanging with Jesus or melting like the Wicked Witch in Wizard of Oz, one of the two, right? I mean, because we don't have a choice in this matter. Unless Jesus returns, we're all going to die, and that's a problem. We don't know what to do with this, especially those who don't know Christ. Communists, for example, man, they have zero clue what to do with death because they're opposed to God, and they have zero clue what to do with it. So here's what they do. Communists, many times, they'll take their leaders when they die, and they'll embalm them, and then they'll paint them up like a wax figure and prop them up and display them so that people can look at them. It looks like they're alive. They did this with Lenin. They did this with Lenin. When he died, they took his body, they embalmed him, they painted him up like a wax figure, they kept him in 61 degree temperature to preserve him, and they bleached him and dipped him in some chemical once every 30 days and then propped him up, making it look like he's alive. But folks, he dead. He dead, and he's in the smoking section. I mean, you can't do anything about death. You can't. We are all going to die. And we don't know what to do with it. It's our greatest problem, and it's our greatest fear. But we're here this morning. That's the significance of Easter. We're here this morning because there's a promise of life. That promise of life overcomes the problem of death. We can't beat death, but Jesus did. That's why we're here today. That's what Easter is all about. That's really what every Sunday is all about. Jesus has overcome death. And so I didn't really have to develop that point. You know that point. But now let's look at the next point, which is the great news. Let's look at the promise of life, the promise of life. Now, Jesus had some really close friends while he walked on this planet. I mean, his disciples, he had 12 men that walked with him. He had, in that 12, he had three that sort of was the inner circle, Peter, James, and John. But he had other friends as well outside of those 12. And three of his closest friends outside of the disciples were two sisters and a brother named Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Jorge read about them in John chapter 11. That's where we're told their story. They lived in a town called Bethany. It was 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. And Jesus, being an itinerant minister, would travel through town. And when he traveled through this area, he would sofa surf at their house. And he would spend a lot of time with this brother and two sisters. And they loved him, and he loved them. And so when we come to John 11, Jesus has just had this encounter, confrontation with the Pharisees, which is what's new. That was constant for Jesus at this time in his ministry. And he is now coming to the end of his ministry. He had this major confrontation with the religious leaders, the Pharisees. And when he did, he went into the wilderness and began doing ministry, and things were going crazy off the chain good. I mean, people were getting saved. Great things were happening. Everything was wonderful until Lazarus got sick. And he didn't just have a chest cold. I mean, man, he didn't just have, you know, the flu. I mean, he was deathly sick. And so Mary and Martha did what we all do in a time of crisis. If you're a believer, and even if you're not a believer, in a time of crisis, we go, what? Hey, Jesus, help. Jesus, please help. We need you, Jesus. And that's what Mary and Martha did. Jesus was off, and they sent a messenger to Jesus and said, hey, your friend Lazarus is deathly sick. We need you to come. Now, you're thinking immediately, Jesus, whatever he's doing, he's going to drop it and head to Bethany, right? I mean, that's what we do, right? I mean, a few years ago when my first wife, Amy, when she died on Sunday morning, and I got a call right before the church service, and I went home, and then, man, when I found out that she had died, then what happened was news spread, and immediately, I'm telling you, people dropped, so many people dropped everything they were doing and jetted to my house. And I have no clue who was there because, man, all I was doing is the worst day of my life. I was just sitting in the corner and cried for weeks. But my house was flooded with people because they just dropped what they were doing, and they were there, and I'm so grateful for me and my family. That's exactly what Jesus is going to do, right? Not what he did. That's the puzzling thing at first read. It's like Jesus, when he was told, this is one of his best friends, and as soon as they told Jesus, hey, your friend Lazarus is deathly sick, He said, it's not to death. And he stayed there two more days working. Why? Why did he do that? Did he not care about Lazarus or the two sisters as much as they thought he did? Did he not love them like they thought he did? Did he not care? Was he aloof? Was he more concerned about his work than about Lazarus? Is that why he was doing this? No. Here's what John tells us. John tells us that Jesus loved the sisters so much that he stayed 2 days longer because something bigger was going on, folks. Something bigger was going on. This is what we need to remember, because by the time Jesus arrived, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Think about that. You're talking about Middle East heat. You're talking about, you know, no embalming, putting some spice on you, wrapping you up, putting you in the tomb. 4 days, he stinks. He's in the tomb in 4 days, he stinks. He's been dead for 4 days when Jesus arrived. And Martha runs up to Jesus and asks a question. When she hears that Jesus is coming down the road, she runs up and asks a question that you and I have both asked many, many times. Here's what she said: Jesus, where were you? Why didn't you do anything? Do you not care? Where were you if you would have only been here, if you'd have done something? How many times have you said those same words? I said them. Jesus, not care? Jesus, why? I mean, you've prayed for that person, yet they still died. You've prayed for that marriage that's in the toilet, but it's still circled and went down the drain. You've prayed for that child to come home spiritually, and they're still not. You've prayed for the job. You've prayed to get pregnant, and it still hasn't happened. Jesus, why? Do you not care? See, we ask that all the time, don't we? We can relate to Martha right here. It's okay to question. We can relate to that. She asked, Jesus, do you not care? And look, folks, when we question, it's okay to question, but when we question, just know there's always something bigger going on. There's always something bigger going on. And never judge how much God loves you by what you can or can't see in the moment. Never judge how much God loves you by what you can or cannot see in the moment, because there's always something bigger going on. Now, verse 35 is a powerful verse. I mean, it's so powerful. It's one of the most famous verses in the Bible. You know, John 3:16 is very famous. John 11:35 is very famous. It's the shortest verse in the Bible, right? Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Say that with me. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Jesus wept. Say it one more time. Jesus wept. You know what you did? You just memorized the verse. That's how easy it is. You can do it. You just memorize. Jesus wept. Now, think about how powerful that is. The God of the universe weeping. He's fully man, but he's fully God, and he's weeping. That's pretty powerful. He's weeping. Why is he weeping? His friend Lazarus is dead. Surely he's weeping because we weep when people we care about die. He's weeping because Lazarus is dead, right? No, he's not weeping because Lazarus is dead. He knows that in just a few moments, he's going to give Lazarus a fist bump when he comes out the grave. He's not weeping for Lazarus. He's weeping because you got two sisters that are broken. Their brothers died. They're in grief. They're in pain. Folks, he feels what you feel. He knows. He's not aloof. He feels your pain. He knows every way you feel. He bottles up our tears, it says. He knows when you're hurting, and he feels that. He's not aloof from you. And it says that he was greatly or deeply moved. Now, we think about Jesus weeping, and we think about, sure, he was deeply moved. This is the emotional turmoil that he's in. It all goes along with weeping and being emotionally moved, and that's not what the word means, the phrasing means. If you translate deeply moved or greatly moved, it means that he was angry. Actually, it's stronger than angry. It means that he was indignant. It's almost like the wording, if you translate it correctly, it'd be like snorted. It's like, man, if you imagine Jesus, he's weeping because the sisters are hurting, and he gets mad, and he's gritting his teeth, and he's angry at death because this is not how I created it. This is not the way it's supposed to be. These girls that I love are not supposed to be weeping right now because their brother's dead. That's not how I created this world. Okay to get angry at death. I've been angry at death. I've been very angry at death. Punching holes in the wall, angry at death. It's okay. That's not how the world is supposed to be. It's not right that people die. That's not the way God created. That's the result of sin. That's the result of sin. And so Martha walks up to him and she said, shows how deep of a faith she has. I know that the Father will give you whatever you ask. You know what she's saying right there? She said, I know you can raise him from the dead. That's a big faith because Jesus has already raised people from the dead. He spent time at their house. They had heard the stories, but not only had they heard the stories from other people, they had heard the stories from Jesus probably as he was telling them about all that God was doing when he sofa-surfed at their place. I know that God will give you whatever you ask. In other words, Jesus, he's dead, but if you can, I know you will. If you will, I know you can bring him back to life. The Father will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said, Martha, your brother will live again. And Martha said, oh, I know he'll live in a resurrection. I know he'll rise in a resurrection. And, you know, that's sort of like, when someone dies, many of us are like, I don't know what to say. Sometimes we don't feel good about approaching people when they have someone close to them die because we don't know what to say. And I'm telling you, don't say anything. As a matter of fact, I apologize to some of you because I've been here for 31 years and I've been involved in a lot of funerals for you guys. And probably before, you know, my wife died and you know, when you go through stuff, everything changes. And, you know, I probably said to you the same thing people said to me. And I realized then that doesn't help. When somebody says to you, oh, they're in a better place. Oh, you'll see them again one day. That's beautiful. But I want them to be here and I want to see them today and just be there, right? But I think that's what Martha was feeling. Jesus said, oh, your brother's going to rise again. I know he's going to rise in the resurrection, but I want him now. And Jesus at that point utters the promise of life. He utters the promise of life. When she says, I know he'll rise in the resurrection, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. He is, folks, the resurrection. He is the life. This is the great promise of life that overcomes the problem of death. This doesn't mean that if you believe in Jesus, you will not die. Lazarus come out of the grave, but we know that he still died. What Jesus is talking about is, if you believe in Jesus, guess what? Death doesn't win because I've defeated it. It doesn't win. It no longer has to be your greatest problem. It no longer has to be your greatest fear because Jesus has defeated it when he came out of the grave. Billy Graham once said, one day you're going to hear that Billy Graham has died. Don't you believe it for a moment. Billy Graham's not dead. He just changed addresses. You see, here's the thing. Everyone physically dies, meaning their body will separate from their soul. But on the other hand, everyone will live forever because we're created to be eternal beings. We're created to be eternal beings, so we don't have a choice in whether we live forever. We're created to live forever. It's the way God created us. But because of sin, we don't have a choice in whether we live forever, but do and where you live. You see, death is not the end. Death is simply a door from this life to the next. The only question is what world do you step into when you go through that door? Jesus said, you want to go to heaven? I am the door. He is the door. He is the only way. He is the only truth. He is the only life. He is the ultimate revelation of God. He's the only way to be right with God. That's why he died. That's why he died. That's why he was murdered on Friday, because on Friday he was murdered because this was the last straw, by the way, for the Pharisees. When he raised Lazarus from the dead, the Pharisees thought, this is it. This is the last straw. And they began to plot his death, and 2 weeks later, he would be hanging on a cross. Isn't that crazy that at a funeral, Jesus pretty much nailed his own coffin shut? This was the last straw for the Pharisees. And he died. They killed him 2 weeks later. And why did he die? He He died because the price for sin was death. The price for sin was death. That's why people die physically, but it's also why people are separated from God, because he's holy. He's holy, and sin cannot be before a holy and righteous God. And so therefore, people die. The wages of sin is death. And so Jesus willingly paid that. He's the only one who could, because of my sin. I couldn't pay the price for my own sin. Neither can you. Jesus lived a perfect life, and he died in your place to take your sin and give you his righteousness. He defeated death. The problem of death is overcome by the promise of life in Christ. Now, John chapter 11, he tells us what this is all about. You see, because then Jesus stepped forward and he said, Lazarus, come forth. That old black preacher said, I'm so glad he used Lazarus' name, because if not, every person in that cemetery would have come out of the grave. But he was very specific. Lazarus, you come forth. And Lazarus didn't delay. He didn't hesitate. He didn't think about it. Jesus didn't have to say it twice. Lazarus, come out of the tomb. He told him to move the stone. And they said, man, surely he stinks, Jesus. Jesus said, move the stone. Lazarus, come out. Lazarus just got up and walked out immediately. What a miracle. And then he tells us what it's about right here. In John chapter 11, when the disciples in verses 14 and 15, when he didn't go immediately, when he was told that Lazarus is sick, his friend, the disciples were sort of wondering what's going on, you know, and here's what Jesus said in verses 14 and 15. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there. What? He tells us why. So that you may believe. Then down in verses 26 and 27, when Martha is asking him where he was, and when Martha says, I know that God will give you what you ask, and Jesus said, your brother will rise again, and she said, I know he'll rise in the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the life and the resurrection. I am the resurrection and life. Everyone who believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And Jesus said in verse 26, 27, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. This whole thing, he told the disciples, I'm glad I was there so that you may believe. He told Mary, I am the life and the resurrection. Do you believe? Yes, Lord, I believe. This whole thing is so that you may believe. This whole thing was so that the disciples may believe. This whole thing was so that Mary and Martha may believe and all those around. This whole thing is so that you may believe. So the question is today, do you believe? It's the difference in heaven, hell, life, and death. Do you believe? Folks, this is the greatest news. This is the heart of the Christian faith. It's the greatest news you'll ever hear, because it eliminates your greatest fear, and it eliminates your greatest problem and relieves your greatest fear. The promise of life has overcome the problem of death. Do you believe? If you do, man, that is the most awesome thing. If you don't today, I pray that the Holy Spirit is opening your eyes to see this truth and that you believe. Just as Jesus breathed life into a dead body that stank, Jesus can breathe life into your dead soul that stinks sometimes, right? He can breathe life into your dead soul if you believe. Will you believe? Man, if you don't know who Christ is, You don't know, you don't believe yet. And I'm not talking about intellectually. I'm talking about in your heart. You go in with this. Do you believe? You want to know how to do that? If you are watching online, if you'll text the word Jesus to the same number that's on the screen, 1-615-551-9800. And we'll get back in touch with you. If you're in the room, we're out. Would you come and see us? Because today we would love on Easter to be the day that we celebrate Jesus defeating death, that he defeats death in your life today. And the promise of life becomes real for you so that you never again worry about the problem of death. It's overcome. It's defeated. Today, will you give your life to him? What we're going to do right now is we're going to celebrate with baptism. And here's the great thing. God is doing some incredible things. God is doing some incredible things at LifePoint. part of that is since last Easter, we've baptized a few hundred people, a couple hundred people this year, and God has brought many people from death to life, like I hope he does you today. And you can't see all of those because, man, they're in different services, they're in different campuses, and so we put a video together. And so Michael and the team's gonna come out and they're gonna lead us in worship and we're gonna show that video and you gotta watch fast because they're gonna be fast because there's a lot of them, okay? But we're gonna try to show you the baptisms that we have done this year, and then we're gonna go live in baptisms today. People that have said, I believe. And then they're gonna be baptized as a symbol of death, burial, and resurrection. Death, burial, underwater, resurrection to a brand new way of life. It's a symbol of the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, the death, a burial of their old life, and a resurrection to a brand new life, okay? That baptism doesn't save them. Do you believe? That's what saves you. Going in with Jesus, do you believe? You're baptized as a symbol of that. So we're gonna do that, and you're gonna see a sign that's gonna come down. It says, live sent. It's like this sign that says, find life. We completed that with the light bulbs. Every time somebody screws one of those lights in, it's a sign, symbol of someone that's gone from darkness to light. And we're almost through. You'll see when the sign comes down. I mean, after today, there's only going to be like 7 or 8 bulbs left. I mean, 7 or 8, well, you want to come up and get saved, get baptized, we'll finish that thing out today, okay? But you'll see that. I just want you to know what that is. They're going to put a light bulb in. They're going to come on and be baptized. And here's what we want you to do. If you, while we're worshiping, man, if you believe, then, man, you worship like it. You sing like it. If you believe Jesus beat death, then you sing like it. If you haven't yet, let today be the day you believe. Father, we love you. Thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you that it is Easter, that we're celebrating today, remembering the fact that you were killed on Friday after living a perfect life. You died to pay the price for my death, for the death of all who would believe. You stood in our place and took the punishment we deserve, and you gave us your righteousness. What a swap that's good for us. God, you come out of the grave on Sunday proving that you defeated death, that it was done. And God, I pray that today, those who believe, Lord, that it would radically change our life, and those who don't yet believe, today would believe. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, go ahead and stand up.